Lori Houston's News for the Heart is dedicated to helping you give a voice to your own soul. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggles that keep us from awakening to our true essence. Join Lori now as we delve into our heart and soul to find the path that will open us to the possibilities and lead us to the life we love to live.
And good afternoon. This is News for the Heart. I have Jean Adrian with me. We're going to get to the heart of what matters. We've been talking about relationships for the last few episodes. We're going to continue on that thread. If you go to Jean's website, which is jeanadrian.com, and you go under the tab that says resources, check out her blog, because she's been writing, actually most of her blogs in the last little while have been on relationships, and she's got some really excellent ones, so you know, check it out. But the last few ones have been on forming relationships, and I also want to bring in some information about contracts, and just because I've sort of entered into something very new and very exciting, and we're kind of all doing this dance right now. I think it's really exceptional, but I know Jean has some stuff she wants to talk about forming, and we'll join in. So welcome, Jean.
Thank you, Lori. I'm really happy to be back with you again, and I'm really happy to get into the deeper discussion about relationships, because you know, this is just in the forefront, it's in my face right now, of figuring out what is a relationship, what is a relationship to me, what form has to do with relationship. And, you know, I think, I don't know about you, but in my reality, you know, I was always told and believed that a relationship, well, actually, when I was young and before I actually woke up and realized that this was a huge illusion, was that a relationship needed to end up being a marriage between a man and a woman that would last forever. It was the Cinderella story. And, of course, when I got married when I was 21, and that marriage only lasted 8 years, at the end of that, it was like, well, that blew that story, you know, off the stage. Because it didn't last forever like I was told it was supposed to. And it wasn't living happily ever after. You know, it was two people coming together in a contract, which we're going to talk about in a minute.
Right.
And when the contract was done, the contract was done. And then we stayed together probably, you know, 4 years past the end of that contract because we didn't know any better. And, you know, then we became two unhappy people that didn't like each other anymore.
Right.
You know, so there's that. But what I'm realizing for me, and just chime in there any minute, but what I'm realizing for me is that, you know, there have been certain nuances or beliefs or programs around relationship form for a long, long, long time. And what I'm finding now is that, of course, everything's changing. You know, everything that we've always believed is, you know, we're having to examine it and look at it from both sides and upside down and in and out, and then make a choice about, okay, is this something that I still want to believe in, or do I need to change my rigid beliefs about X, Y, or Z? And relationships are no different. The one thing that I see changing in relationship has to do with marriage. You know, and in the United States, it's been a big deal for many states to change their laws so that gays can actually legally marry and have the same rights as their heterosexual friends.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a big change with respect to the form of relationship.
Mm-hmm. You know, it is interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, Toronto has been a bit more open to that for quite a while. I think we've been able to marry gays for several years now. But, you know, the form of relationship, I think that's the big thing. Like, you know, we keep expecting or wanting it to be in a certain form. And,
yeah,
you know, I remember thinking this, you know, several relationships back going, well, this is the energy I wanted. It certainly wasn't the form that I wanted. It wasn't, I mean, I was very attracted to him, but if I ever had have put up, you know, a profile picture up of what I wanted, he wouldn't have fit that picture. He wouldn't have fit that mm-hmm. profile. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't going to be, like, he wasn't the university grad, like, usually the things that I'm more attracted to. And then this recent one, I certainly wouldn't have been. One, he's younger, he's, you know, he doesn't meet the form that I usually go for. And so had I kept my vision just on what I usually am attracted to, I certainly would have missed this opportunity. But what I am attracted to is energy. And that's always been, I guess, you know, I have to have a certain connection with somebody. But had I, like, because of the situation, because I was doing a show with him, because his story is just the most inspirational story I've ever heard, plus I actually know him. So having both the inspirational story and actually knowing somebody and being able to share that, it was phenomenal. But it was because of that that I was able to actually open up to the possibility of a relationship. I mean, it's true. We have to get out of our heads about what we want to control, what we think is the most important thing. That, I mean, it's just us. It's just our ego. It's just us trying to manipulate and control things. And it's just the same.
Yeah, because you know,
we do this all the time with money, with jobs. Like we're doing it all the time.
With everything. Yeah.
Everything.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, I truly in my heart believe that the universe's answer to every question, every request that we put out there is always a resounding yes. You know, but if you say, okay, bring me my beloved, and he needs to be a man, B, 6 feet four, C, brown hair, D, blue eyes, blah, 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 E, my age, my same age, or whatever, you know, then what you've done is you know, the universe may have found your beloved.
Right.
Wherever your beloved was hiding. But the universe can't deliver to you because you've made the window so small it can't shove the guy through.
Right.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, this all, well, I first started looking at it about form and, you know, and about marriage, was the first thing I was looking at about, you know, Where's marriage headed? You know,
yeah.
I see more and more people choosing to have partnerships and not go the legal route.
Right.
And, you know, so I wonder, you know, is marriage going to go away? And where did marriage come from? You know, and looking back through history, marriage was a thing that was originally designed to protect women. But truthfully, it never was really about protecting women. That was just the verbiage that the patriarchal society gave to it. You know, it was about locking women into their husband.
I was
getting,
just going to say,
you know,
it had nothing to do with protecting women. It had everything
yeah.
to do with the church trying to control relationship and getting into the marriage of people, like creating something so that they could stick their control and manipulation within a defined area. And it was more about the patriarchal system than anything to do with yeah, I'm glad you got that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, so you know, so then why did we buy into it hook, line, and sinker? And then, you know, so then there's a whole bunch of programming that little girls carry about that they're not complete unless they have first the diamond ring on their finger and then the husband, you know? And it's like, okay, wow, where'd that come from? You know, and, you know, I certainly don't believe that, but I have believed it in the past. And, you know, so this whole thing about a woman having to change her name. Mm-hmm. To take on, to give away her birth name, which, you know, if you're into numerology, your birth name is part of your frequency. You know, and I don't know that I am or am not into numerology, but there's a whole frequency thing associated with that. And when you give that up, you change your frequency. And so are you changing your frequency for the right reason or the wrong reason, for the better or for not? I don't know. I mean, I don't really have any answers here.
Right.
I'm just doing a lot of thinking about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so then, go ahead.
I was just saying, yeah, I mean, that's the place that we need to get to is not so much, it's not so much, you know, this bit about what they have to look like or whatever. It's really about getting to the place where we can just be totally open. Like, yes, bring in the beloved energy. Feel that beloved that matches you, or feel that energy that is being guided towards you, and just allow that to be felt. And you know, make the choices around, you know, what qualities you want in a person, and the qualities meaning that you want integrity, and you want, you know, deep love, or deep, you know, a connection, or a soul, create it from that space instead of, you know, trying to force it into something.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was my first look at form, was about marriage and, you know, and the form of a relationship. And then, I got gobsmacked about form. You know, I mean, when the universe, you know, wants you to get a lesson, it'll start with carrots. You know, so that whole thing of looking at marriage and that kind of stuff was the carrot. And then I got the stick. I had a private session with my coach, and we did a bunch of clearing work and healing work that I couldn't do on myself, which is why, you know, I highly recommend coaches to everyone out there, because there's only so much you can do for yourself. You really benefit by having another viewpoint on your life, so that you're not, you know, drinking your own Kool-Aid. I had the session with her, and at the end of the session, she asked me a question that put me back on my heels. Now, I'm not trying to make a racial judgment or statement here about anything, folks. Just understand that I was born and raised in the Deep South, which was, up to when I was in high school, extremely segregated. The first integration took place at my high school my senior year. So that's how deeply steeped I have been in racially segregated history. And so she said, "Jean, so have you ever considered dating a black man?" And I was like, I couldn't breathe. But when she asked me that question, I realized, well, I'll be darned. You know, here's another way to look at form. Because, no, I never considered dating a black man, but why? You know, the soul of my beloved might be in a white Anglo-Saxon body, but what if the soul of my beloved is in the body of a man of another race? Would I say, okay, well, you can't be my beloved because you're not the right color? I wouldn't say that in any other aspect of life. I certainly wouldn't say, well, you can't work for me because you're not the right color. You can't eat in the same table with me because you're not the right color. I would never do that because I've really come way past my roots, you know, in every way, shape, or form, except for that I'd never thought about dating somebody, and I don't mean just limiting it to a black man. I never thought about dating somebody who was Oriental, for that matter, or Hindu, Indian. I never thought about it. Never, it just never even entered my frame of mind. So I was like, wow, okay, I need to ponder that for a while. And then, of course, you know, the universe is still not satisfied that I've gotten the message. So I had a client the other day who is a lesbian. And she had hurt herself on the day of that she and her partner were able to finally get married. And she hurt herself on the first knuckle of her ring finger, slammed it in a door. And So I said, okay, well, that's an acupuncture point. So I went looking, and that's acupuncture point triple warmer 1. And when I looked that up in my protocol, what that is all about is the fear that form will stifle your creativity. And immediately, as soon as I read that to her, you know, and her situation and her story and what we were healing was completely different from mine, but I knew that I was also working on healing myself here. That, again, about form and relationship, you know, because creativity is second chakra stuff. It's the same frequency as sex and money and love and creativity, you know, creating with, you know, arts or with music or whatever. So I knew she was bringing me my stuff on a platter. And when I finished the session with her, I had to stop and again go into ponder mode. Well, what if my beloved is a woman? Because I'd never considered having a relationship of the same sex either. So these are all things that, you know, if we truly want to create a relationship that is a spirit-guided, holy relationship, holy from the standpoint of Course in Miracles, not holy because it was approved by a church, holy where two people are balanced and equal and not codependent one on the other and not expecting something, the other person to complete them and that kind of thing, then we need to get outside of our preconceived notions about what the beloved is supposed to look like. And the, you know, the next thing that came up was I was observing a couple at an event I went to where he was a paraplegic and his partner was pushing him around in a wheelchair. I had never considered a disabled person before. But what if my beloved is in a disabled body? Okay. Yeah.
We're going to go to break. This is a good time. We've got some questions, and we're going to come back, and we're going to discuss all of this because I do think it's fascinating. We are getting to the heart of what matters. We are on News for the Heart. I have Jean Adrian. If you want more information about Jean, go to jeanadrian.com. If you want more information about myself, go to intuitivesoul.com, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Lori Houston, and I have a great show on bmajor.org called News for the Heart. I'm an intuitive counselor, coach, and teacher with professional qualifications and certifications, as well as natural clairsentient and claircognizant abilities. I've been on my spiritual path for over 20 years, and during that time have acquired through extensive studies, teachings, and sacred texts, over 30 different healing modalities, which are continuously being added to me, as life is an ongoing journey. My passion is on relationships, limiting beliefs, energy that is blocking you, and awakening consciousness as we become more heart-centered. You can find out more about me at my website, intuitivesoul.com, or call me at my toll-free number, 1-855-444-SOUL. That's 1-855-444-7685. And I'd be honored to connect with you. Let's get to the heart of what matters. Do you want to become more empowered, connected with your core, guided by your heart and soul's purpose, be more balanced, and have more mindfulness? Are you searching for the answers, wanting to understand your relationships better, why your intimate relationships, friends, family, and even work colleagues can impact your quality of life? How your relationships interfere with your business, career opportunities, and even starting your own business? I'm Lori Houston. I have a free weekly advice column with bmajor.org called Heart Lessons. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggle that keep us from awakening to our true essence. You can send me your questions or for more personal guidance, contact me at intuitivesoul.com or call me at my toll-free number 1-855-444-SOUL. That's 1-855-444-7685. And let's get to the heart of what matters to see your heart lessons.
Want to know where you can hear Lori Houston's News for the Heart? Well, that's easy. You can tune in to Lori via Clear Channel's iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, and at bmajor.org. Now, back to Lori Houston and News from the Heart.
And welcome back. This is News for the Heart. We have Jean Adrian here today. We're getting to the heart of what matters. We've been looking at the form of relationships, and I think it's, you know, it's such an interesting thing to look at because I think, you know, we do get caught up. We do try to control things. I love the, you know, I think relationships are changing, and I've had a lot of different people say different things about relationships. And, you know, I have kind of mixed feelings. I know that, you know, to some people, relationships are not monogamous, that they're, that, you know, some people think that the really the true spiritual person does not try to define, like, down someone, but to actually be, you know, open to more possibilities and not be restrictive, but just allow things to flow. And that's a form that a lot of spiritual people, especially the younger generations, are really exploring now. So that may be a form down the road that we all may have to look at, whether, you know, whether trying to hold someone into, like you said, the marriage or that partnership, you know, maybe even that's changing. I mean, I do believe that things are really shifting and changing, and I think we just have to be open to all possibilities. I mean, we don't want to give away our own integrity, and we still want to come from that space, and we don't want to be that person that, you know, has our own beliefs and values and has to change them for somebody else. But I think the big issue is we don't know what our beliefs and values are. We don't know what our core identity, like, we get lost in all of that. And I think that's, you know, I think that's part of the problem, is that we really don't know what we want. Because we get into a relationship and then all of a sudden it's what they want, especially with women. Yeah. We really get caught up in that. And, you know, like, that's not that's not healthy. We get lost. We forget. I mean, I think about, you know, runaway bride when I think about that issue. You know, what's your favorite egg? She had a different favorite egg with each boyfriend and with each potential husband. You know, like, it's, we lose ourselves. So it's we need to be able to find a way to be in relationship without losing ourselves, and I guess evolving and
growing. That's a huge piece, Lori.
Yeah.
And it's not just with relationship. This whole thing about knowing who we really are and identifying our core values and operating from our truth is one of the biggest things that is important in every aspect of our life. Because, you know, yeah, relationships for sure, you know, and I think, you know, we tend to, like you said, lose yourself in a relationship. But boy, it's everything else as well.
Yeah.
You can give away your, the things that are important to you, in a skinny minute if you don't know what they are.
Yeah.
In any kind of, negotiation, in business, in life. So that's the first piece of work that all of us needs to do. I think that the piece of it, though, that we have to also take into consideration is that it's a process, because we aren't stagnant. Even, you know, once you identify your core values, you still keep growing, and so they may modify as time goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be aware of that. I think that, you know, the deep-seated stuff, you know, probably doesn't change all that much, but, you know, some of the tangential stuff does. And you have to, that, it's another, it's just, it could end up being another one of those pitfalls of getting too rigid again.
Right.
If you say, well, this is my truth and by right. Lord, I'm sticking to it.
Right.
You know, then, you know, you've done the same thing as not being open to how the form of a relationship. But you have a new relationship and you want to talk about that and some contracts? I want to hear.
Well, I have to say, it all sort of came about when an ex came back to apologize for what had happened in the relationship and how he had ended it poorly, and how, you know, the communication was very poor, and how he had met somebody, and I knew that this was, you know, kind of the key as to why he brought it up, but that this other person had created a contract. And the contract, you know, basically you come up with your own ideas, and in the relationship that I'm in right now, it's not going to be called a contract, it's going to be called an agreement. But, you know, you set up the things that are really important to you, the things that you know, that you can't move beyond, like safe sex.
The non-negotiable ones.
Like, for me, like, the idea when my ex brought it up was really to, you know, the fact that he walked away without giving me any opportunity to talk about it or know what was going on or anything like that. He just shut down, walked away, and I was kind of left trying to bring back the pieces. And, of course, you know this story a little bit. The pieces became a lot more shattered because of all the other things that happened all around the same time due to a lot of interference from a spiritual teacher. Anyway.
You know, I got to say to your ex, wow, kudos to him for having the cojones to come back and actually do the closure thing.
Yeah.
That's huge for him. It was huge,
and I do appreciate it. I mean, in the end, he couldn't actually go to where he wanted to go anyway. But the point of it was, the big point he brought up was that, you know, you can't just do that, that you have to communicate. And so that, you know, the guy that he knew that made this contract basically says that once a week they get together to go over any of the stuff that comes up. And that how important communication is. So while I was kind of coming up with this idea of creating this contract or this agreement, you know, that was kind of my big thing. Like, I don't, you know, you can't just walk away. There's a friendship and business relationship that's being built along with that. So you can't just walk away. We have to be able to communicate. We have to be able to, and it, when it does end, like when the agreement does end, you know, that's fine, but as long as we then make the friendship the priority and still maintain that, because I've always had maintained friendships with everybody I've been with. In fact, the only one that I hadn't was the ex that then came back and apologized, and now I am able to. But he was the only one that I wasn't able to. So I'm always like that. And so it was about, you know, setting up those things that are non-negotiable, but also saying, you know, I want to be open and I want you to push me. I want you to dare me. I want you to get me out of my box. I want to be able to, you know, to play in this dance and, you know, to fully, and that you have the right to say, hey, I think you're closed and you're not open to this possibility. And so do I have that same right. And, you know, to just write down all the things that are really important to me. So for me to feel safe and open, I need to know that there's some level of commitment, which is don't walk away. Like, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it several times before, you know, it doesn't mean that it has to last forever. It just means let's talk about it. Let's make sure communication is number one.
So what are some of your non-negotiables?
Okay, now we might be getting into some personal stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I know for me, one of my non-negotiables is cigarette smoking.
Oh, yeah, well.
You know?
See, I would never get involved with someone that, I already knew he wasn't a smoker, so that wasn't, I wouldn't have had to put that in because that, I already knew he wasn't. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, I've had guys in the past who told me that they weren't, and then I got involved with them and come to find out, oh, you know, one guy in particular, he said, well, you know, every once in a while, I'd love to have an occasional cigar.
Okay.
You know, would that be a deal breaker for you? And I thought, well, you know, as long as you don't do it in front of me, you know, okay. Well, come to find out his occasional cigar was a pack that looks like a pack of cigarettes of these brown cigarillo things, and he does them two of those packs a day. So I didn't see that part of it until, you know, I got to say I was hooked in the relationship.
Wow, yeah. See, that's
so, yeah, deal breaker.
Yeah, that would be a deal breaker for me. I mean, I don't mind a guy who does the odd cigar either because I kind of actually like the smell of it because it reminds me of my dad. But but cigarettes, no.
Well, it cigarettes threw me right into my second deal breaker, which was honesty, you know, because he wasn't honest.
Right.
He thought he was being.
You know,
it goes back to that thing we talked about time and time again about you got to be honest with yourself first before you can be honest with somebody else.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like so communication. If you don't communicate, if you can't come from a place of integrity, if you can't, I mean, I could look up my contract now and see what I wrote in there, but you know, you know, it's just like those things. Those were my major things. I mean, really, those were definitely the major things that I wanted to make sure that, you know, you didn't just walk out like you. That, you know, communication is such an important piece. You know, and what the definition of a relationship is. You know, he seemed to have issues, fears around, you know, somebody, once you're in a relationship, that means that, you know, half your assets go to somebody. It's like, yeah, but I'm not interested in your financial, or any type of, you know, external thing. That's not what attracts me to a person. I don't go to them because I want somebody to take care of me. You know, so that was something. You know, the bit about, you know, moving me out of my comfort zone, because I know that he has the potential to do that because of the, you know, it's just nice that I've moved back into another spiritual relationship where, you know, you can be more open and more, like have that deeper connection from a deeper place. And that is important to me, and so I don't think I can go back to somebody who, you know, who doesn't, no matter how, you know, attractive they are or, you know, where they're coming from. It really has to be, you know, something that is, you know, that deeper connection. So that almost is a non-negotiable for me now, because I've tried it and it just, it doesn't work.
I would agree.
And being open means, you know, allowing full expression of my emotions. And if that's too much for you, you got to let me know, because I don't want to feel like I have to walk on eggshells. I don't want to feel like I can't express myself fully. So these are the kinds of things that I put in my contract so that, you know, that they know. So that, you know, and I...
Yeah, you're not the first person that I've spoken with that has done this. Because another one of my girlfriends, several years ago, went into a relationship, and she and her partner at that point wrote a contract out that they would, and that they were going to renegotiate. That it was signed for 6 months.
Right.
So there was a commitment of 6 months, and then at the end of the 6 months, they would renegotiate or not.
Right.
You know, which I thought was kind of cool. But another thing that came to mind while you were talking about this, especially about, you know, about your guy pushing you to grow. So another friend of mine introduced something to me, and I'd read about it in 50 Shades of Grey. Mm-hmm. But in the application in her marriage, it was a little bit different. It wasn't anything sexual. But when they made an agreement to have a word that they would use when the relationship came, if or when one person felt that the other person wasn't being respectful.
Oh.
And they say they use the word purple.
Nice.
And, yeah.
Nice.
And that's just a reminder, without having to go specific or accusatorial to the partner, that, wait a minute, I'm feeling disrespected here, you know? So then we can stop and talk about it.
Right. To be honest, I actually think that the whole contract thing came out of 50 Shades. Because that
okay.
Was, I, honestly, like, I don't know, but that's where I kind of think it might have come out of, because it was, you know, that was kind of what they did. I mean, obviously it was more on a, you know, on a sexual relationship, but I kind of think that that's where this idea might have popped up from. I don't know if you could contact with your friend and see if that's where hers came from, but it was the exact same thing that my ex was suggesting. That they went to it, that the person he knew went into a 6 month contract, and then they renegotiated, went into a 2 year after the 6 months because it was going the way they wanted. So, and that was my thoughts. It kind of makes me think of, because I didn't actually watch or I didn't actually read 50 Shades till after. I kind of wasn't really into that at that point. Not that I would, Anyway, it was a very interesting. I actually enjoyed the series very much, more the next two books, just because getting to know him and what the actual issues were. It was a fascinating story.
Exactly. To me, it was one of the most uplifting stories I've read in a long time. I got really bored with the sexual part of it, to the point that I would actually skip over.
Really?
Because it became repetitive to me, you know. But the story was amazing.
Yeah. And it was good. It was also good about learning how to surrender, because I think, you know, we don't do that. We get caught up in what we think we should do and what we think is right, and we don't enjoy the moment. And I think that's, you know, another part of that. But I think it's time for our next break. You have been listening to News for the Heart. You're getting to the heart of what matters with regards to relationships. I have Jean Adrian with me. You can find out more about Jean if you go to her website, jeanadrian.com, or you can go to my website, laurihouston@intuitivesoul.com. And we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Laurie Houston, and I have a great show on bmajor.org called News for the Heart. I'm an intuitive counselor, coach, and teacher with professional qualifications and certifications, as well as natural clairsentient and claircognizant abilities. I've been on my spiritual path for over 20 years, and during that time have acquired through extensive studies, teachings, and sacred texts over 30 different healing modalities, which are continuously being added to me as life is an ongoing journey. My passion is on relationships, limiting beliefs, energy that is blocking you, and awakening consciousness as we become more heart-centered. You can find out more about me at my website, intuitivesoul.com, or call me at my toll-free number, 1-855-444-SOUL. That's 1-855-444-7685. And I'd be honored to connect with you. Let's get to the heart of what matters. Do you want to become more empowered, connected with your core, guided by your heart and soul's purpose, be more balanced, and have more mindfulness? Are you searching for the answers, wanting to understand your relationships better, why your intimate relationships, friends, family, and even work colleagues can impact your quality of life? How your relationships interfere with your business, career opportunities, and even starting your own business? I'm Laurie Houston. I have a free weekly advice column with bmajor.org called Heart Lessons. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggle that keeps us from awakening to our true essence. You can send me your questions, or for more personal guidance, contact me at intuitivesoul.com or call me at my toll-free number, 1-855-444-SOUL. That's 1-855-444-7685. And let's get to the heart of what matters to see your heart lessons.
Want to know where you can hear Laurie Houston's News for the Heart? Well, that's easy. You can tune in to Laurie via Clear Channel's iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, and at bmajor.org. Now, back to Laurie Houston and News from the Heart.
And welcome back. This is News for the Heart. We are getting to the heart of what matters. I'm here with Jean Adrian. You can find out more about Jean if you go to her website, jeanadrian.com. We're talking about relationships. We've been talking about, you know, that form of relationships, and then we kind of got into the contract or an agreement that you can create at the beginning of a relationship or at some point in the relationship where you feel comfortable. I have to say, though, bringing it up at the beginning is kind of empowering. It's scary, which is what I thought we'd maybe talk about now in this segment is, you know, communication, it leaves you wide open. Like it you have to be so vulnerable, and a lot of us have thought that vulnerability is a weakness. And I will say over and over again that vulnerability, to be that vulnerable, to open yourself up that much, is truly a strength. And if you can do it like I did in the beginning, and like just rip it open and say, this is what I want and need in a relationship, and then be as equally open to, you know, changing things or making different suggestions, and also allowing them to bring in their non-negotiables or their things that they would like to have an agreement. It's exhilarating. It was incredibly nerve-wracking in the beginning, because I thought, well, what if I'm just like crazy here, and you know, this isn't as much as I think it is, or it's, you know, like everything, all my childhood stuff and all my fears of, you know, being this open and this honest this soon, was really scary. So, you know, communication is not easy, and yet communication is the forefront for any relationship. And I, you know, and I've said it before, there's so many thousands of millions of people that would rather not communicate and just break up in their relationship, because communication is so vulnerable, because it leaves us in a space that we have to really lay our heart on the table. I mean,
well, I would posit to you that communication is perhaps the only reason to have a relationship. I mean, I think that's probably why we have relationships to begin with, is because our soul, at a soul level, wants information from the other person and wants to share their information with the other person. Yeah. Otherwise, we could all just be Buddhist monks and live on top of a mountain cross-legged in a cave, you know, and be perfectly happy. Om Kumbaya.
And although I totally agree with you, how many of us actually heartfully communicate? How many?
Well, bingo.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, how many?
I mean, even people who've been married for 37 years, that doesn't necessarily mean that they are in a fulfilling relationship that is based on communication.
Right. It's kind of crazy, really, because, you know, it's so integral, and it's what allows us to grow. It's what allows us to get out of that box and to open ourselves to possibilities and to open our heart. Like, yes, our heart is open when we say, I love you, sometimes. But to really, like, talk about, you know, what's going on and what's important to you and what you're passionate about. And, I mean, we know what it's like. We've talked about it on shows. We know what it's like to be passionate about something. I mean, our shows are always passionate. So we get to open our hearts and be passionate. But when you actually have to do it to a beloved or to someone, you know, you're just starting out in a relationship, you know, that's where it gets a little bit more, I don't want to say challenging, because it wasn't a challenge. I had to be able to say, you know, kind of this is non-negotiable for me. I need to know that there's some level of commitment. I need to know that communication is just as important to you as it is to me, or else, you know, I can walk away from this. Maybe because it was so new, but, you know, we have to be able to say that. We have to be able to say what is non-negotiable and say, yeah, okay, I got to go if you can't meet that. So,
well, you know, I think that would be, to me, like unto, or even perhaps a metaphor of, building a building on a strong foundation. You know, you are creating an edifice to house this relationship that is based on a foundation of communication. I think that's huge.
Right.
Most people don't think about it that far.
Right.
Most people base their relationship on sex.
Or,
you know, okay, is there a spark here, you
right,
know?
Right, sure. Or they base it on, you know, this is the person I see, you know, it's like they go from one to the end in like 3 seconds and say, oh, this is the one. Like, is this the one? This is the one. You know, and they're not even thinking about.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right? And we do that. Like, it's like,
yep,
we're all of a sudden we're thinking, you know, we're putting their last name onto ours, and we're, you know,
uh-huh,
it's funny. Like, we aren't communicating. We're not,
right,
you know, it's just this, you know, this lust at the beginning, or it's just this, the endorphins, or, you know, the oxytocin flowing, or, you know, something's going on that, you know, our pheromones are in alignment, or, you know, like, it's like, it's just so funny that what our ideal of relationships are, and usually, unfortunately, that comes from the first 7 years of our lives, and which means it's
exactly
our parents' relationship, or it's how our parents related to us. And, well, you know.
Well, and not only that, but we start all this programming, you know, based on what we know. Yeah. And then we move into adolescence, and we start, and actually we start, you know, kids today are doing this in first and second grade, but start playing with relationships. And think back when you were a little girl, Lori. Do you remember having a crush on a kid in your class, and you would put the plus sign, and you would put his initials, you know, on one side of the X and the other side, and yours on the bottom? You know, it's like, you know, Jean plus Sam, you know, that kind of thing. And
I think we use
that's
heart
this whole thing.
Or
yeah, but that, well, usually you put a heart around it too.
Oh yeah, yeah,
exactly. That's and that's the kind of thing that gets carried. It's a program that gets really embedded in the psyche, and it gets carried forward to adulthood. And I actually, at 66 years of age, caught myself doing that same BS. I met a guy on a dating site some months back. And we were communicating, and we were communicating via the chat on the dating site and then email. I never actually met this guy face to face before, you know, things sort of fell apart, but I had already gone to the altar.
Yeah.
and I caught myself going, holy moly, Jean, you know better than this. You know, and I never even met him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Old programming.
Right. Like we get.
And these are the things we have to let go of.
Yeah.
If we have any hope at all of creating successful relationships in our lives going forward.
Right. And the way to do that is to be open and, well, first, it's know what we want and need. Like, know what our non-negotiables are. Know what, you know, what we can and can't accept. Get out of this issue about, you know, what the form that we want a relationship to look like, or the form that we want our beloved to look like. We gotta expand all those boundaries. We've got to get out of those boxes. We've got to be able to be that vulnerable that we can just be open, like be that vulnerable that, you know, you want to communicate. Yeah, but you may want to know what their past has been like, but you want to know who they are right now. Like, and yes, with a lot of people, knowing what their past is. And I just have to say with mine, it's so different because, you know, when he had his accident, basically all his memories were lost. And he got to pick and choose through his neural pathways the ones he wanted to keep or ones he wanted to go back into. So, you know, his past really doesn't play much of a role in this. But, you know, knowing what's important to both of us does. But being able to say that, I mean, it was so transforming and so enlightening for me to be able to just say it, to just go through this and to just open up. I mean, it was... I can't tell you how empowering that was.
I can believe it. I feel it and I hear it in your voice.
And so I think, you know, maybe, you know, I don't know where everybody is, where they want to creating their relationship, but, you know, we've got to start looking at those things that we have labeled and the things that we think are how they have to be and just be so much more open. But, you know, as we always say, relationships have to start with ourselves first. We have to know who we are.
Well, you know, I think that we have, we've really put together a lot of content in today's show. You know, I know that if I were the listener, and I know that I am going to be the listener, and go back and listen to it again, because I think what we've done in the communication you and I have done on the show today is really come up with some great foundational ideas for letting go of form and figuring out a new way of doing things that might possibly work, because I know most of us, me for sure, have done it other ways, old ways, over and over again, and they didn't work.
Yeah. Yeah. And we all know that I mean, and I'll go back to the beginning where you said, Jean, you know, that things are so changing in the world. Like, the energies are so different from what they used to be. It's just that because we're still stuck in not wanting to change, or in stuck in what we think we have to be, or think that things have to look like, we, you know, we miss these opportunities, or we may not miss them. We just kind of get, what do you call it? Gobsmacked.
Uh-huh. Hey, I'm not sure where I came up with that one, but hey.
I think I know what it is, but, okay. You know, where, you know, just all of a sudden it's like there in front of you and you're like, oh, wait a minute. And that's happened to me actually about 3 times where I wasn't expecting to have an attraction to somebody. And then all of a sudden there it was. And it was like, oh, wow. Where did this come from?
Surprise.
Yeah. And so I think, you know, we all want to grow. We all want the ideal healthy relationship, and we're all talking about it. It's not like there's somebody out there that says, oh no, I want to attract the exact same person. There are some people that say, no, I only want it to be this person. But, you know, nobody says when they're ready to move on and let go, oh, I want to attract the exact same relationship. We all want to grow. It's just sometimes we're not growing. We're not seeing the parts that we need to grow. And that's why, you know, coaching with somebody is so important, which is what both Jean and I do. I mean, it really is, you know, such an important piece. And you got to understand, just like Jean said earlier, like, we get to grow from it just as much as you do. So in a way, it benefits us absolutely as much as it benefits you.
Every single time it benefits both parties.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because we're mirrors, and because the yeah. people that come to us are working through the same things that we are, or in different ways, or in different packages, but in some way we'll always come back, and it will always be something that we both can grow for. And that's what a relationship's all about too. I mean, it really is. Like, you know, I know a lot of people think that soulmate relationships or soul group relationships are really difficult, and I'm the person that doesn't really necessarily believe in the whole twin flame, or that idea that, you know, we were once whole and we split apart and we keep searching for that other half of us. Because I don't think that anybody is supposed to fulfill something. I think, you know, I think we've got to stop thinking that we need that other piece to make us feel whole.
No, because you already are that. You know, I just remembered an epiphany that I had during this last week of soul searching.
Uh-huh.
And that had to do with, you know, we've all heard in the law of attraction that you have to become what you want to attract to you. So I've been working for a long time to become my own lover and the beloved myself, to love myself the way I want to be loved. But one of the images that I saw in meditation this week was that, you know, all the things that you talk about the qualities you want to attract to you, the beloved, to have these qualities in that. What I realized was that I had to bring those feelings and qualities into my heart in order to be able to attract him there. And I was trying to become it for myself, but then I also realized that I had to put it inside my heart, because that's where the creation takes place. So I had to open my heart to bring the beloved with his qualities, you know, not a specific, you know, person, not a literal person, but this energy into my heart. So that now it can resonate in there, and at the heart level, then attract this person to me. And I know it's working.
Right. Oh, I know it's working too. I can feel it. Yeah, I think it's so important. Like, it is so important. And I think just playing in that energy for a while, you know, however you want to do that, but just imagining it and playing with it and dancing with it and just enjoying it. But this has been an amazing show. I agree. I will be listening to it again. I want to thank you so much, Jean. This is, we keep the, who knows what our next one's going to be about, but, I can't wait.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
All right. So you've been listening to News for the Heart. We have been getting to the heart of what matters. We've been looking at relationships and the form of relationships and how communication is so important, and maybe looking at an agreement for yourself. But this has been a great show, and I'm always blessed. So thank you, Jean.
Thank you, Lori.
Have a question for Lori and want to be on the next News from the Heart show? Drop us a line via instantfeedback@bmajor.org. News from the Heart is brought to you by Intuitive Soul and is produced by Major Radio for Clear Channel's iHeartRadio and bmajor.org.